Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning to listen, not to me, but to you, Heavenly Father, as you speak through your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to rejoice in the fact that you care and love and that you make us special. Lord, you have a whole universe, and yet for some reason you choose to spend time with us. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Any of you who have tried to read through your Bible in a year know that one of the first big obstacles comes when you hit the book of 1 Chronicles. And I used to say that it was like reading through a telephone book, but I'm starting to realize today that nobody knows what a telephone book is anymore. Because we've all got, you know, little phones with directories and Google and all that. You know, nobody goes and looks through the white pages anymore. But 1 Chronicles is pretty much like that for the first bunch of chapters. It's just names after names after names in little genealogies, and there's not a whole lot to see in 1 Chronicles. And so many people just skip it. We just go through it and just quickly, you know, scan the page and get to the interesting parts. But if you go through those names, occasionally you find little treasures. And this is one that it wasn't my find. It's been found by many who have read through it and taken the time. But this month, as we're talking about characters doing something special for God, I wanted to talk about this one. And he's had a book written on him. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. And I read the book, but I didn't get it from the book. Actually, the first time I heard of Jabez was Chuck Swindoll preaching it in Bible college, and he did a sermon on Jabez, and it's been a long time since I've revisited Jabez. But we talked about two great people the last 2 weeks. We talked about Moses, and we talked about Joshua, and God devoted a whole lot of the Bible to those two. They're sort of like Bible superheroes. They've had movies made about them. They, you know, Charlton Heston with his Ten Commandments and Joshua bringing down the walls of Jericho. Nobody makes a movie about Jabez, but Jabez, the reason I like Jabez is it's more like you and me. We sort of pass through the world and we come in, we go out, and maybe a few people say a few things about us and we're done. And yet Jabez, in this list, because it's interesting as we read it, we could start in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, and we start a couple of verses ahead, and you just get names. Naarabor, Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temni, and these names are something else. These were the sons of Naarath, and the sons of Helo were Zerath, and Zohar, and Ethaman, and Cosbegot, Arub, and Zobabah, and the families of Athaniel, and you keep on going through, and then all of a sudden in the middle you get verse 9, and all of a sudden Jabez shows up. Now, it's very interesting about Jabez here, because first of all, he's not connected to the rest of these genealogies. They just stuck him in there. We don't know who his father was, we don't know who his mother was, we don't know who his kids were. Why he got put in this little spot here, who knows? Except God put him there. He's only mentioned here, except we do know one other thing about him in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. He had a town named after him. They just named the town. The town is named Jabez. So he was important enough to name a town after. But we don't know why. We don't know what he did. You know, when you go in our streets here and you go down Freddy Gonzalez, you can find out what Freddy Gonzalez did. You can look him up on Wikipedia and find out what Freddy Gonzalez did. Or you go out further and there's Cesar Chavez. Everybody who wants to look at knows what Cesar Chavez did. And you go and you see Washington, D.C. and you know what Washington did. Jabez have a town named after him, but who knows why? But it was important enough to name a town after. The one thing that I do want to notice about here in chapter 4 is he's the only one that has a story. It's a short story, but he has a story. There was something about his life that God thought was important enough to mention. And I want to ask you, what's your story? What are they going to know about you? What's going to be that thing which distinguishes you from all these other names in our phone books? You go through and you hear all these different names, and all of a sudden a Jabez comes along, and there's two verses written about him, and it tells us some important things about him, and we know something about him. But what is it going to, what is Tom Whitehouse's story going to be? Or any of the rest of you? Because God has a story for you. God has something he planned for you to do. It says it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. He's created you in Christ Jesus unto good works which he's prepared beforehand that you should walk therein. He's got a life planned out for you. A story with a beginning and an end. A place where you are the main character. The one who changes things for better or for worse. Now his story wants you to change it for better. Sometimes we try and write our own. But Jabez had a story. All these other people in this genealogy didn't. They're just names. They didn't get their story. But when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and he's going to judge your story. He's going to look at your life and he's going to see, what did you do with it? And so we need to look at Jabez's story. And it starts out by saying, in verse 9, he was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. We don't know how many brothers we had, but we know that from God's perspective and from the perspective of the man writing this little story, that Jabez was an honorable man. It's not saying his brothers weren't honorable. His brothers weren't the evil villains twisting their little mustaches. But Jabez was more honorable. And that's a good thing for someone to say about you. You're more honorable than your brothers. And it tells us what happened with him. His mother, this is the beginning of his story. His mother called him Jabez. Jabez is the Hebrew word for pain. His mother called him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Now, I've watched all 9 of our kids come out. And there is not one of them that was not born in some pain. Every single pregnancy, as I'm in there and Angie's going through the labor, every single one. Now, Angie's very good at not showing pain. She doesn't. Boy, when we had Matthew, the first one, when we got through and Matthew was already born and they put her, that was the two that we had in hospitals instead of at home. They put us in the resting room afterwards and they took another lady into the labor room. And that lady, boy, I'm glad she came after Angie had the baby, because if she'd come before, Angie would have totally freaked out. That lady was screaming like a stuck pig. You could hear it through the hospital walls. You could... Angie, you don't hear it. But every one of her pregnancies, when it came just about for the time before she was ready to push the baby out, she said to me, I don't think I can take it anymore. And I'm sort of like, well, you haven't got a whole lot of choice. It ain't staying back in there, you know. Don't tell her that. You know, I didn't tell her that, but that's the way it is. But, you know, she was in pain. And then the joy would come. But for some reason, Jabez was a special case. He had brothers, and they didn't get named Jabez, but the mom went through some kind of pain with them, if she's anything like any woman I've ever heard. But Jabez, who knows, maybe he came breech, or maybe, you know, it was one of those difficult pregnancies. But Jabez hurt coming. And so when that baby came out, she named him Pain. He was resented. I mean, can you, you know, can you imagine every time you get called by your mom or your dad? Hey, Pain, come here! I mean, people name kids dumb things. I remember the rock singer back when I was in high school, Frank Zappa, and he had two kids and he named them Dweezil and Moon Unit. You name your kid Moon Unit. That's Dweezil. Dweezil Zappa. Your name follows you. I got an insurance claim when I used to work at Aetna, and this girl's name was Liberty, which is bad enough because her last name was Bell. Honest. Liberty Bell. I'm sure she was ready to get married and get a normal name like James or Smith or something. But Jabez was resented. And brothers were named, you know, who knows, Joshua and Hezekiah and, you know, nice Jewish names. And he gets Jabez. And he goes to school and all the kids, hey, Jabez, you're such a pain in, never mind, okay. His name is a constant reminder. When you got that kind of a name, it follows you. It affects your life. You know it did because of what comes after. Now, most of you know we try to name kids right. I mean, you know, the names we have somewhere in them is always gift of God, and Jason means healer, and you know, it's you know, we try to give them that. But none of my kids got the name Pain. Some of them have been at times, but none of them got the name Pain. But you've all had the baggage. Because if it's your name, or it's your face, or it's the way you've acted at times, or it's other circumstances in life, every one of you has had things come which have put you in a situation where you don't feel that you're worth anything. It happens to all of us at one time or another. Life hits you. That's the way life is. Unfortunately, in today's society, too many people can't take the hits. And so we have thousands each year who take their lives. I heard a really interesting interview the other week on one of the radio shows about a guy. He's written a book. I don't remember, wasn't in a position to take the information. But he's one of these, there's been a few survivors who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And he was one of those. And he said he was sure he wanted to take his life until the second he jumped, and then he realized, oh my gosh, what have I done? What a time to think of it. And then he hit and broke just about every bone in his body, but he survived, and now he's sharing his message. Life is worth living. But all of us have these things that hit us. We're pains to someone. Someone doesn't like us. Someone doesn't want what we do. And Jabez was one of those. He was human. He had a story. And his name was a constant reminder that he's a pain. So he prayed. It says, and Jabez called upon the God of Israel. See, this is the thing that we need to remember when we're in those situations, when we're in a Jabez situation. We need to pray. The trouble is our prayers are usually woe is me prayers. You ever had a woe is me prayer? Says, oh, Lord, I'm in such a bad, do something. Take me out of this. Take me out of this. See, we all want to be taken out, but we don't want to be put in. See, we always think, I want to be out of the trouble, but we don't think positively of where we're going to go when we're out of the trouble. Psalm 40, David talks about this. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. That's what we want. We want to be taken out and put on the rock. But it goes on. It says, he established my goings, my steps, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. And many shall see it or hear it and trust in the Lord. See, once you've been taken out of the pit and put on the rock, God wants you to look forward. Too many people stand on that rock after they've been taken out and they look back at where they came out of and they say, I've been through too much to do anything. I'm just happy I'm on the rock. But I'm still, inside my heart, I've still got the horrible pit in the miry clay. Instead of the new song. I love that word new. I've got a new song. I'm going forward. I'm doing like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting the things which are behind. I press on. So Jabez, who had been a pain, who had been all this for his life, he now comes to pray to the Lord, and he doesn't pray just, get me out of the pain. I want you to notice what he prays. As we look at Jabez's prayer, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. First, he wants blessings instead of the cursings. He's not going to be bound by his circumstances. He says, God, please bless me. Now, this is not necessarily a selfish prayer. This is a prayer that says, God, your blessings are stronger than what happens around me. Because what happens around me can be pretty bad. There can be abuse. There can be bullying. There can be loss of jobs. There can be loss of income. There can be illnesses. There can be all these things. And in every one of those things, which Jabez was going through his share of them, he says, Lord, the first thing I want to see your blessings instead of the circumstances. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything. Why? Because no matter what you have in your life right now, and I don't care what it is, some of you have some pretty bad things in your life. There's four words that you can say which should make you thankful. It's better than hell. Because as sinners, that's where we should be going. It's better than hell, which means there are some positive things that you can have in every situation. We need to see those blessings. Thank the Lord for them. People's hands, people's hugs. Beautiful morning. Rain on the roof. Don't let your circumstances define you. Don't become the victim. With God, you're stronger than the victim. And that's the next part of his prayer. He says, expand my territories, expand my borders. He says, I don't want to simply be what I currently am. Make my sphere of influence bigger. Now, that's not just asking for more land. Remember, in the end, he got a town. It's asking for more responsibility. Because when your borders expand, you've got more to do. We should be praying to God, Lord, expand my borders. Don't close me up in myself. Don't make me just me in my little room. Help me to have a bigger view, a bigger vision, a greater vista, more responsibility. Make me grow. Because I was just a pain. Now, I want to reach out. I want you to make me something in your universe, God. That's a very scary prayer, because there's a book that I read when I was a young whippersnapper. It's a business book called The Peter Principle. Peter Principle is a very interesting book, and it says this. The thesis of the book is this. Everybody gets promoted in their jobs. If there's enough spaces in a company or a business or something, people will get promoted until they reach their level of incompetence. And there they will stay the rest of their life. And you understand it. You started a restaurant. And you're making burgers, and you get promoted, and now you're doing more, and then you're the manager, and you can do each of those jobs, so they promote you again, and that's a harder job. And so they promote you again, and you're still doing it, and they finally get you promoted to a job that's just beyond what you can do. And since you can't do that one well, you stay there for the rest of your life miserable. And this explains a lot in businesses, you know, because everybody's been promoted until they've reached the place where they can't do the job, and there they stay, and that's the ones you have to deal with. I had a supervisor once when I was at Aetna. Great supervisor, wonderful lady. I loved her. She even came to our church sometimes in San Antonio. And one day she called me in her office. And you know, when you're called in by surprise to your supervisor's office, it's not a good thing. But she called me in. She says, "I'm calling you in here not as my employee. I'm calling you in here as a pastor and a counselor." She says, "I'm over my head in this job." She says, "What should I do?" She's asking me, "What should I do?" I said, "What?" She says, I can barely, I'm stressed. I don't sleep at night. I've got all, you know, I'm managing, but I just can't." I asked her a simple thing. I said, "Do you need the extra money that you have from when you were promoted your previous one?" She says, "No." I said, "Take a demotion. Go back down and do what you used to do, what you loved." And she did it. She was the happiest woman in the world. But what I'm saying is, she had gotten to that point where she couldn't reach any further. Jabez was afraid of that point. So the next thing he said was this: "God, may your hand be with me." Your hand would be with me. See, because we can do more than we normally could if God's hand is there, isn't it? If you grab more responsibility and you get to your feeling, you're at that place where you're about to fall victim to the Peter principle. Remember Peter! I'm not sure it's about the same Peter even. But remember Peter. Peter was a guy who kept sticking his foot in his mouth. And then God promoted him to a place where he couldn't even handle it anymore. But with God, all things are possible. And without him, John 15:5, you can do nothing. So Jabez says, "Okay, expand my borders. Make them big. But God, you need to stay with me. Without you, I can't do what you have for me to do. But with you, I can do all I need to do." You don't need to fear the Peter principle if you're following God and have his hand with you in your work. So don't be afraid. The reason I brought the Peter principle up is because people think, "I don't know if I can do that job. I don't know if I can do that job." If God puts you in that place, as long as he's with you and he puts you there, you're going to be able to do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to expand your borders. as long as you have God's hand with you. And then keep me from evil. This goes right along with the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, all of us are tempted to evil. Power corrupts. I heard a very interesting, I haven't been able to verify yet, but you could pray for this. I saw it this past week in an article, and I haven't been able to find any independent corroboration, but if it's true, it's a wonderful thing. How many of you know Benny Hinn? Have you heard Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn is one of these prosperity healer shyster preachers that have been around forever. The article says he's come out, he says, you know, I've been wrong. I'm not going to preach that prosperity gospel anymore. It's not the gospel. I'm not going to sell the gospel anymore. I hope it's true. You know, Lord, maybe working in his heart. But see, he had the gospel and he got into this evil situation. And hopefully the Lord's getting him out. Jabez didn't even want to get in. Keep me from evil. Don't let me be bad for those around me. Why? He says that I may not cause Jabez, that I may not cause pain. It's amazing to watch people online. I like Facebook and other things online, and it's just amazing and saddening to me to see how easily and freely people want to cause others pain. How they want to just cut and criticize and put down, especially if you don't agree with them politically. Jabez had had enough of causing pain. Jabez had had enough of making everybody's life miserable. He says, in all my expanding of my borders and all my going forward and all my having your hand with me, Lord, don't let me live up to my name. And one of the wonderful things about Jesus that he says in Revelation, in the letters to the churches, he comes and he says, to those who overcome, to those who are victorious, I'll give a new name. You know, Jabez, I'm sure right now, is in the presence of his Lord, and he hasn't been called Jabez in a long, long time. He's now something different. What it is, I don't know. But he's no longer the giver of pain. He's the bringer of blessings. We have been called to be a blessing. Now this month I'm not talking about Jabez, I'm talking about us. You and me. This is about us. Because we are to pray God's will in our lives. And God has something for each of us. And he promises in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the answer that he prayed for. And he's blessed each of you with talents and gifts and a direction and dreams that he wants to make into your story, like he made Jabez's story into his. He's also put you in a world where you've got pain and have been a pain to people and have bad circumstances. And so he took Jabez as a little example. Remember, the Bible is supposed to show you what you're like and what you should be like. And so he says, the end of verse 10, and God granted him what he requested. His borders were expanded. He got a town. He was good for people. He prayed according to God's will and God answered. Now all of us are sitting here with our lives ahead of us. And all of us can be brought to that same point. Lord, let me be a blessing. And if you pray that, and then you walk in the faith of that prayer, that that prayer will be answered, and go forward instead of just standing on the rock, God will give you a story. God will give you something that will be remembered. God will make your life worth it. But you can't be afraid. You got to go forward. Take it and say, God, where do you want me? And if we pray according to His will, He hears and He will answer, just as He did with Jabez. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for